Steve Wallace was amongst the many great Bulldogs who were recognised last night. Three get elevated to legend status, five get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I can't believe it's taken this long for Steve Wallace to find his way into the Hall of Fame of the Western Bulldogs. He's been good enough to join us on the show. Good afternoon and congratulations, Stephen.
Hello, Andy, and thank you.
Why have you been overlooked for so many years? You've been out of, you're an old enough man now to have been elevated into this Hall of Fame before this, surely.
Andy, you and I are about the same age.
We are.
Listen, it was a long time ago. It was a bit, feels a bit retrospective in some ways because a lot of life has gone since I played, which was probably 22 years ago. So it has been a while.
But you haven't really had a break in terms of your commitment to the footy club. I mean, you play between 83 and 96. You played 261. You would have played more than that had injury been a better friend to you than it was. But even before Mitch started playing, was there many, for how many years didn't you have some sort of connection to the footy club?
I've always been there or thereabouts with the footy club, but and probably because I've been a coach. I've coached junior footy ever since I retired, so and still continue to now. So I'm involved with the under-18 Metro team for Victoria, so I still coached right through. So there's been a connection all the way through, and I did actually coach Mitch as a young bloke and at St Bernard's, and we had four people drafted out of that team back in the day, so it was... It has been in the blood and always been a connection, you know, sort of with other teams, but also back to the Bulldogs.
80, which of all the years that you played, Steve, is there one year that you think back to more often than not in terms of, gee, that might have been our chance? Because, you played significant amount of finals footy, not every year, but you played five or maybe six or seven finals campaigns?
Yeah, well, I think I played nine games in the finals, but we did actually get to preliminary finals twice, so one under Terry Wheeler and one under Mick Malthouse in 85. Probably 85 was, and it's, you know, well versed, that we probably should have done better that year. We had such an exceptional team, a lot of Western Australian recruits in that team, but also it was a very, very good, well-balanced team. We finished on top of the ladder, but just couldn't get over Hawthorn at the end of the day in the preliminary final.
What was Mick like? I mean, you played your senior career under the two coaches that you've mentioned. I'll ask you to give us a comment on both of them. How instrumental was Mick Malthouse in you developing into the footballer that you developed into, Steve?
I think early on, well, naturally being a younger player, you're a much more outside player and probably receiving player. And particularly the way that I was playing in the centre as such, or a midfield, but it was called a centre-back those days. And I could often get a fair few kicks without getting too much dirt on my knees or anything. So Mick sort of didn't really like that style. He was more a hard-nosed backline player. And he probably educated me to become a lot more inside than out, and I think that probably prolonged my career for a long time. But he made me earn it. Like, he didn't actually give it to me that easy. But I suppose he rewarded me eventually by making me captain. So if you look at some of the people that he's appointed in that area, a lot of them, I know John Worsfold was a midfielder and became a halfback flanker. So he had a mould or a mindset of a certain character of person that he wanted, and I happen to be that one. So, yeah, I had a good time with Mick, and he taught me a lot of stuff.
You can be tough unfair, or you can be tough fair. Was he a fair tough, do you reckon, Steve?
I think if you listened to Mick and actually worked under him and followed his principles, I think he was very, very fair. If you wanted to step outside that, he had the other side of him that he actually could push you into the background pretty quickly as well.
Yeah. So you go from Mick to Terry. Now, Terry was a pretty uncompromising player himself through his career, but I get the sense, though, that they're quite different characters and personalities. Were they distinctly different from your perspective?
Very different. I think Mick, in his years at the Bulldogs, was quite a defensive coach. He was bringing a lot more defence into our team, and that was his mindset. We had Terry Wheeler, who was an exceptional coach. He every person that played under him admired and respected his knowledge of the game, and, you know, it's often been touted that he thought well beyond the games at that time, and I'd agree with that. But he also brought sort of inspiration into the team, not unlike probably Luke did in the final year, where he had players that he got the best out of by being very positive, great direction, and probably being a little bit more insightful into the game.
And was he a bit out of the box? I mean, we know we've heard stories about jumping out of planes and all of that sort of stuff. But was that part of his makeup? Was Terry quite? Was that something that he often sort of brought to the table to challenge you blokes with kind of bizarre type things?
It was complimented as well by Andy by the way he used to speak to us. Some of the speeches that he gave to us before games were like they were exceptional. But he always had a theme and a technique and a reason for doing things. We were on the. I remember we went on a camp at down at Anglesey and we woke up at daylight. In the morning and we're all on the beach and we didn't understand the significance of that, but then we're on the top of Mount Bogan the next year and it was about the journey from the low sea level up to the highest point in Victoria. So along with jumping out of planes, and there was always a reason for his actions. It wasn't ad hoc, it was actually deliberate and probably really clear to the playing group, but it was about getting a group of players to play for, like he got the best out of a Danny Delray, Simon Atkins, these players that may have been just, players that played for a year. He got very, very good football out of a lot of good players.
So that stuff, I mean, you don't hear of that kind of the motivational element as much as you do these days, the great oratory before games. It feels like that might have been by and large, something that belonged to your era and prior to that, Steve. Did that work for you? Were you the sort of player who tapped into that kind of energy being generated?
Me personally, yes, because I like to be a bit of a student of the game, but also I'm very interested in business, as you're well aware, Andy.
Yep.
And I think a lot of the things and the way that the coaches and also the footy club operated and how I had to work my way through pretty tough situations with injury and also performance and so forth sort of lead you into being a lot better in your outside life as well. We often look at the downside of a lot of the players when they come out of football, but you can actually look at a lot of footballers that have come out and done quite well outside of football through what they've learned in football. And I think looking at Terry Wheeler, Mick Malthouse, Terry Wallace, Alan Joyce, all the coaches I had, there was always something you could pick up. And there was always a theme that they had or a way they'd put it all together. The other thing is I think they still do have the coaches doing the same thing, Andy. We probably just not as it's not as open these days in house.
Yeah, I imagine the current coach of the Western Bulldogs could rev the boys up if required. I don't think he'd have any trouble sort of tapping into a bit of a theme that he wanted to expose and using it as a pure motivational tool.
I'm probably a bit privy because of Mitch, and Mitch says some of the things that Luke delivers is just exceptional, particularly because it's very heartfelt. Like when Luke speaks, and I've only seen him at functions, he speaks from the heart, and it's actually not constructed 5 hours before. He actually believes it, and I think that's what the players are following presently with him. They actually know there's a real man that stands there and a real story. And I know Mitch just hangs off every word when he's listening to it, because there is usually a purpose to it, and it's very much about a team and being successful as a group rather than an individual.
Gee, it's good to hear. Well, I've got a text message that's come through. We're talking to Steve Wallace, who was inducted into the Bulldogs Hall of Fame last night. I got a text message from a bloke who was claimed to be part of your formative years, Steve, back in 1981, I think it was. You were part of a Teal Cup team that was full of superstars. There might have been was there a Dee Brereton part of that? Was he part of all of that?
Actually, Dermot and I went through junior footy, not actually playing with each other, but we did in that Teal Cup. So, yes, I know Dermot very well. He'll actually spent a fair bit of time. Just one thing that he went on to a lot of highfalutin glory in his media days. But there's not a greater man that Sue and I respect. As he, whenever we see him, whenever he catches our eye, he'll come and always come over and say hello. And
oh no,
myself and family, and it's just actually, you've got to admire that. I think it's fantastic.
So that 81 Teal Cup team, I'm glad the phone just dropped out for about 3 seconds as you're singing Dermot's praises. Then, so we'd heard enough, Steve. We didn't need to hear any more of that. That team was pretty elite, wasn't it? I mean, there was a lot of good players. If memory serves, came out of that particular year.
There was plenty of players in that team. It's we had a very, very good carnival, and Blake Jordan was the coach. So, but we Paul Salmon. There was just like there was just talent everywhere in that year, and it was probably right when the focus went on the under 19 competition in the AFL that there was investment from all the clubs into under 19s, and necessarily you had players that were from all over the country, but there was time and effort put into their skills and match, so we had a bloody good team.
Steve, you're really highly regarded for what you did as a player and, you know, what you've done since your playing days around the footy club. There's a lot of love and respect coming for you off our SMS machine. Was there, in all the time that you've been involved in the Western Bulldogs, last question before I let you go, was there one player or person at the footy club who you've grown to admire more for their contribution to the club than any other? I know it's hard asking you to drill it down to one, but is there one who's made a contribution that stands above all others for you?
Listen, it's probably fairly obvious to me that there's two blokes. David Smorgon is one of those, and Peter Gorner is the other. We've been through some, you know, very, very tough times, and unless you had someone that was as passionate as they are and probably willing to put in the time, our club might not be even there. So it does, there's a lot of other people that probably go under the radar there, but there's still got to be a leader and someone that actually sets the course of the club. To look at the two of them in Brace, and David was inducted last night as well, and for people that were on the battlefield of actually being presidents against each other, to be embracing last night and actually rejoicing in the success of having a club that's viable and also with great resource now and actually successful, is you've got to tip your hat to both of those guys. I just, you know, they've been great servants of the club, but they've actually been better than that. They've actually been really true people and leaders to keep us and to make us survive. So it's those two blokes.
And last one, not everybody who's been a great servant of a footy club gets to continue to live, you know, the love for the club, you know, through a son like you have with Mitch. How much of a joy does the family get out of seeing Mitch represent? A lot of people say the father-son rule should be abolished. I'm not one of those. How much joy does it bring to the Wallace family to be able to see the son follow in the father's footsteps?
It is. It's really good, Andy, until you watch a bit of video last night. And Josh and Mitch and my daughter Lauren were watching, and they said, you weren't as good as actually you'd been telling us. Listen, we're very fortunate because we've been a family that's naturally been involved with the club. But to watch Mitch play and Josh plays in the VFL as well, we couldn't ask for anything more. It is challenging, but it's actually also, we know what footy's all about from our experience, and we actually watch with, you know, great enjoyment. And just we're very, very fortunate, Andy. You know, I must admit, you know, I'm proud, and I can probably say that now. I was probably a little bit more humbled and wouldn't say a lot before, but now I can reflect and be very proud of, you know, what our contribution's been, but also the club that we've got.
Footy Club's been lucky to have you, Steve. You're a fantastic player. I mean, a terrific player. Three-time rep for Victoria, amongst all the other accolades that came your way, the durability and just the consistency at a very high level. No matter what role that Footy Club asked you to play, you did it with great distinction. Congratulations on the elevation of the Hall of Fame, and thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time this afternoon.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Steve Wallace, absolute champion of the Western Bulldogs Footy Club, inducted into the Hall of Fame last night. This afternoon's for Prosper. Get approval on your business loan at ours, not days. Go to prosper.com.